Good night to everyone.
Oh, good night.
Leon, seeing your colleague, you know, who's been around for such a long time, and also Mayor.
Sorry, you cut off. Yes. My colleague who?
Seeing Bonner, who's been around for some time, also Mayor's in his late 20s, making a debut now. Do you think this will inspire other cricketers that have been journeymen within the regional cricket? And does it suggest to you that we need to give other people a chance to play representative cricket?
Yeah, Doug, definitely is an inspiration for what you say, the older guys. I mean, there's always the saying in the Caribbean that, you know, 28, 29, 30 is old in the Caribbean. Right, when statistically some people are in the prime of 30 and 31, we tend to think that people are finished and washed up at that age. But he obviously is an inspiration, and Kuma's been around first class circuit for a while. Obviously, he's paid his dues and made use of the opportunity, obviously. So it's good to see that the older guys, as you say, you know, now come into the team. And they show, you know, that they have class. I said they have a desire to do well. You know, obviously they came in under, you know, different circumstances, if you want to say that, than usual. But at the end of the day, they show that, you know, they belong to Test cricket.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sir Clive, the older champions of West Indian cricket, the contribution you've made by writing letters and reaching out to present players, what do you see as a role as player of other players of your ilk to help the present day West Indian players?
Well, I'm 6,000 miles away, so the point is that the only way I can reach them is either speak to them on the phone or write letters of this nature. The guys who were there, I think that the West Indies should be able, the board members should be able to choose guys who they think, you know, who would like to get involved. We have we have great talent down there, and we should be able to use them. The English are doing it. The Australians are doing it. Mm-hmm. The Indians are doing it. The Sri Lankans are doing it. The New Zealanders are doing it. They're using their ex-players to their advantage. Mm-hmm. We must choose carefully at who will be able to bring people on and show them the way to success. You know, we are lucky to have people of that. Barbados has got about, what? Always have great fast bowlers. They should be helping, if they don't help the Barbadian fast bowlers, they should be able to help the other islands. We have a lot of great batsmen still in the West Indies. We have Brian Lara, we have Gordon Greenidge, we have Desmond Haynes. I mean, that's a lot of talent. And we should be able to use them to so that our youngsters will be able to further their careers. Listen to them intensely and make sure that Kyle Mayers is not the only one that will be able to produce such thing. This guy, when you look at it, this is a tremendous performance. I don't care what anybody says.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous.
This is a mammoth performance, you know. And we've got to be proud that we, although we're, you know, people think we're down in the doldrums, but we still can manage a situation like that. It is a terrific performance. And I'm very proud to know that we still have cricketers that can play such an innings, you know, and we have thoughtful guys, fellas who, as I said, Bonner, I was very impressed with Bonner.
Mm-hmm. Look very
just soft. Like I'm impressed with a fella Brooke, and I'd like to see him. Mm-hmm. It was a pity that he wasn't there. You know, I thought he would have learned so much by being around. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, I hope that that's not the last we have seen of him.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay.
Mike King, you've followed cricket for many years. Well, you have an idea of who our cricketers are in the region. What do you think is the missing link? What do you think we can add, or what we can do, the Cricket West Indies can do to really develop the best cricketers that we have in the region?
I think one of the things hurting our cricket is obviously the structure. We have to do something developmental. Mm-hmm. I think one of the issues that is a worry for us is what happens to our cricketers between 18 and 23. Mm-hmm. I think at the youth level, the 16-year-old in the Caribbean is as good as the 16-year-old in Sri Lanka or Australia. But between 18 and 23, mm-hmm. something seems to fall down in terms of our cricket. We need to find a way mm-hmm. to have our young cricketers mm-hmm. move to the next stage. Let me give an example. I think it was the under 16 World Cup. Hepmeyer played in that World Cup from the West Indies. Rishabh Pant played in that World Cup from India. Who's the talk of the town? Dan Lawrence, the young English batsman, playing in that World Cup. All three of these fellas playing the World Cup. So at 16, 17, we are all on the same level. But, you know, since then, this is the situation. Hepmeyer has got one first-class 100. Dan Lawrence has got 10. Rishabh Pant has got 7. So our youth fellas mm-hmm. are not making that step between 18 and 23. And that is one of the things that's heard in our cricket. Mm-hmm. He has won first-class 100.
Oh, dear. Well, his captain is with us.
But, Andrew.
Yes, Sir Clive.
Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The point is that why our young players are not coming through as quickly? Because we don't have a lot of eight-team tours.
Okay.
You see, the eight.
Yes, very well said. I agree with that.
Is the next step is a test.
Right.
Is the next mm-hmm. step mm-hmm. is test cricket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we have more A-team mm-hmm. tours, we will be producing more cricketers and we have a healthier test side.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are so far away and it's very costly for us to go elsewhere, you see England, it's like in the middle of everywhere. They can always get a tour or they can go on a tour. So they have a lot of... Mm-hmm. And the A-team is not a situation where it's a demotion. When you don't do so well in the test matches, they will ask the guys to play in the A team
mm-hmm.
so that they can build that the form again. So we have to, that's what we have to do. If we have more A team tours,
mm-hmm.
we will be able to develop mm-hmm. our cricketers much quicker.
All right. Now, gentlemen, time is very tight. Leon Johnson with a smile as broad as Bridgetown. We're going to just change the focus a bit. Of course, we also have to do a tribute to Ezra Mosley, who sadly passed. Of course, Sir Clive, you will want to offer your tribute. Let's talk regional Super 50 now and go to Leon. Barbados up against Ghana, always a big battle. Can you explain to us how you won that game? 236 for Barbados to win. You would have thought that perhaps Barbados would have won that, but you brought your spinners into the attack. Take us through that game, Leon.
Yeah, look, I thought we obviously were very short when we batted. We obviously didn't hit our batting targets. I thought we were about 40 runs. We were 40 runs short of our batting target. You know, we lost our way in the middle. And I thought that Sheppy obviously played well. And the partnership with Bramble and Etty obviously kept us in the game. Etmaya was just, you know, being Etmaya the way he played. You know, he could have obviously played the situation a little better when he got out. But, you know, it obviously kept us in the game. Statistically, teams batting second struggled to make 200 runs on that ground. 190s. Is the score, average score about in second. We're very weird.
Power score.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, Barbados traditionally haven't played spin well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just use that to our advantage. I thought we controlled that first 10 over as well.
Okay.
I don't think they expected us to probably to start with the spins. I have two spins bowling the power play, but I thought, you know, they played it too safe, thinking, you know, once they bat the overs, they probably would still win the game. But obviously that pressure that was built up brought wickets as well. So, yeah, I thought we had a good day with the ball and a good day in the field. So, obviously, some things to work on in Bolton as well. And if I could just speak a bit, though, Mr. King spoke about Justin, I admire, because he said, his captain is in here. I mean, obviously, he's a very talented guy, and he played now in the 19 World Cup, where all these guys came to prominence, if you want to say that. And I was a limited overs cricket. He's played test cricket. He's only got one first class 100. But he's also got five international one day 100s as well. This is something he can't pass that. But obviously, enough to have scored more runs in the longer format of the game to do his talent justice. But, you know, he's a very, very good player. And you can't just look at his he say he has one first class 100. So he has 5-1 international 100s in a short period of time.
All right.
Yeah, Leon should also tell listeners too that after 16 test matches, he doesn't have a test 100. So when you come in with a story, give us the whole story, Juba. After 16 matches, he doesn't have a test 100. So Leon Johnson will not allow you to mislead people all over the Caribbean. Tell people that Cullen Mears has got a test double in his debut. And Leon and your good friend, your countryman, Shimron Hetmyer, who will now have to fight for test player. Because one of the things that is important to us with Cullen Mears getting runs is that the Shimron Hetmyers, the Shamar Brooks, the Ross and Chases, these fellas will not walk back into the West Indies test team. Mears has no put pressure on them with that 210.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, gentlemen, time is very tight.
Yes,
Leon.
I mean, it wasn't an argument.
What's that you're saying?
I was saying it wasn't an argument.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, but you mentioned the 5-1, the 100, but also tell people after 16 matches, he doesn't have a test 100. So, you see, when you're given a story, young Leon, give the entire story.
I like that one.
There are people that play 20 test matches, averaging 16 for 2 years. But,
yes.
You know.
All right.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
All right. Okay. We got 10 minutes left in the show. We lost Ezra Mosey on the weekend. This really is very, very sad. Michael, your tribute? This is a sad loss. Michael?
Well, a massive loss, really. I've known Ezra Mosey since 1982. I remember he made his debut here against Trinidad and Tobago, the first game of the 1982 Chelsea season. A lot of respect I've got for Ezra Alfonso Mosley. We respected one another. Had a lot of respect for Ezra. Ezra had a lot of respect for me. Decent man, good cricketer, tremendous coach. A massive loss, really. Ezra Mosley, had more to contribute to Barbados and West Indies cricket. I was in shock, really, when I got the news. I think your good old friend Peter Thorne, WhatsApped me to give me very sad news. I was devastated. A big, big loss, Ezra Mosley.
Of course, a very good friend of his is on the line, Alf Padmore. Alf, how well did you know your good friend Ezra?
Good evening to everybody. Ezra was a personal friend of mine. My beach buddy, who would go to the beach at least 3 days a week. Ezra bought that bicycle because I also bought one, and my cousin, and we were all planning to ride around Barbados together. That particular morning, we were supposed to ride together. I consider him a rock of stability, really. He was a source of strength, and to me, a shoulder of spirituality, because there was that spiritual side of Ezra that a lot of people didn't know. And it has, over the last 3 days, it has me totally wrecked, because that morning, Andrew, I was supposed to be with Ezra.
Oh, dear.
And it only happened that my cousin couldn't get his van to get the bicycle to transport to sit for us to ride with us. So then my cousin and I decided to go to King George V Park to exercise instead. And Ezra was by himself.
Oh, dear.
And that wrecked me, because just a couple of days before, you know, Ezra said he was looking forward for us to be together. We all bought the bicycles from Pineless Creative Workshop. Bought helmets, bought everything together. Ezra would exercise every single day. And when I tell you a beach buddy, if you ask Robin, because Robin Parsons will be there with us, there's a small group of us. And from church to cricket to everything. And I've never heard Ezra curse anybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. Always
manly. Never.
Ezra can disagree with you in a respectful way, and that is a hallmark that you don't see in people. I mean, and his word, definitely. Everything is definitely. You know, and this is a big loss to me personally here. I'm trying to cope and to settle, but because I'm still picturing that call from Ezra, I said, Alf, we are going raiding this Saturday.
Yes.
And it's heavy.
It's heavy, heavy. Well, we also have on the line a young Brian Barrington, Carrington, actually, would have come on to his tutelage. And you put some very interesting stuff on Facebook. In fact, my good friend Ralph Thorne, QC, drew it to my attention. I thought it was important to hear from you as well, the impact that Ezra would have had on your life. Good evening to you, sir.
Yes, hi, good evening, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Mm-hmm. All right, okay. Yes,
go ahead.
Tell us about the impact that Ezra would have had on your life.
Yeah, so I would have first come across Mr. Mosley at National Trials at the under 15 level.
Right.
And then after that, my alma mater, Harrison College, would have hired him for a couple of years to coach us. And he would have acted, you know, along with coaching, he would have played some intermediate cricket with us. So he would have been a coach and player. So I had the privilege of being coached by him and also playing alongside him in cricket. He was a lot more than just a fellow teammate and coach. He was very much so a father figure as well. Mm. His coaching transcended just sports. He coached us on life as well. Okay. As we were learning about cricket, mm-hmm. we were able to make application mm-hmm. As it relates to life as well. Mm-hmm. And so he had a great impact on me and in forming the man that I am today. He taught us how to be gentlemen. Cricket is a gentleman's sport, and he also taught us how to be gentlemen off the field as well. Mm-hmm. His passing was quite devastating for me particularly because mm-hmm. I am also a cyclist. I took up cycling
maybe
3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and 2 weeks ago, I would have met up Mr. Mosley just at the roundabout there by Coverley. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I was seeing him in about 18 years. I was so excited to see him. You know, it was like a kid seeing their father coming back from some place that they had been for a very long time. You know, I was so excited, and we actually conversed from Coverley roundabout all the way down to Chipmunk roundabout. We rode slowly, and we spoke for a good 10 to 15 minutes. We were catching up. He was telling me about moving on to St. Michael's School and how much talent he was seeing there, and how, you know, he really had a good feeling about West Indies cricket based on the young talent that was coming through. I was able to share with him what was happening with my life, you know. Oh. And we would have passed the same spot that would eventually be the area
so
that
sad.
Took his life so 2 weeks earlier. Mm. So when I got that news, I was out riding on Saturday morning when I got the news. I feel as though I've lost my own dad, to be honest.
Oh, dear, that close. Well, we want to thank you for coming through and talking to us on Mason and Guest. And thanks to Ralph Thorne, who actually told me this afternoon that I should get in contact with you, given what you actually posted on Facebook. Time is very tight. What we're going to do, we're going to get, of course, a tribute from Sir Clive in a minute or two. But let's go to the Spartan Club now. And their president is Christopher Odell. Let's hear his tribute.
Good afternoon, Andrew. First of all, I would like to take the time to thank you for reaching out to me to pay a tribute on behalf of Spartan Club on the passing of Ezra Mosley. It's never easy to learn of the passing of someone, yet alone someone that would have represented your club and would have given his time, his effort, and energy. Mm-hmm. Ezra assisted tremendously with our youth program, Spartan Juniors. And I know that he would have instilled a lot of discipline in those that would have been part of that junior program. When I think of Ezra, I just think of someone that's very, very professional, consummate gentleman, and by all records, a fierce competitor, regardless of the level of cricket that he would have played. There was nothing called a friendly match, as Richard Lohr would have told me. He gave 150% for the club. He gave maybe even more with the junior program. And as I said, very, very sad to hear of his passing. I remember in just reaching out to a couple members, in particular my good friend Antoine Sargent, was telling me, you know, couldn't go in the net with a sharp pants. That was a no-no. He couldn't have his shirt tail out. Ezra held very high standards, and he kept those standards wherever he went. I know that the cricketing fraternity would be deeply saddened, as Ezra not only impacted men's cricket, but he would have impacted women's cricket. And his loss, I know, will be deeply missed. So just on behalf of myself and the Spartan Committee of Management, as well as the players of the Spartan Club and the supporters or the hailers as they're known, we would like to offer sincerest condolences to his family in this time of bereavement.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks to you, Christopher Odell, the president of the Spartan Club. Well, we're going to go to Sir Clive now before we end the program with his tribute. Sir Clive.
Andrew, I met young Mosley at probably to the end of my county career. When I was supposed to play against him, he fell ill. He was injured, so I didn't get to face him. But the point is, I managed him when we played against England. Mm-hmm. And what I knew of him is that he was a knowledgeable cricketer, very easy to get along with, and he was sharp. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that. When I saw him bowl with Ian Bishop, we had a fearsome attack then. And it's unfortunate, too, that someone like Ian Bishop never, you know, we didn't see more of him, because he was a great, I'm sure he'd have been in the top echelons of our fast bowling.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. But I must say that, as I said, I didn't know a lot about young Mosley, but I've heard so much about him from Monty Lynch. He's a very good friend of him, and we were, you know, sort of speaking about him and in volumes. And I can't tell you how sad I felt when I heard that he had died so tragically. And we've lost someone who I think had a great part to play in the future of our cricket. And, you know, may he rest in peace.
All right. Well, Sir Clive, I want to thank you very much indeed for that wonderful tribute. Michael, I want to thank you as well. And, of course,
Alf
Padmore, you know, that's a very interesting story, of course. And, of course, Mason and Guest is always about production. So, Michael, stay with us. We're going to end the program this evening with the voice of Ezra Mosley.
Yeah, Jones, let me remind you, this COVID-19 is still in review. We played the fool and broke the rules, and now COVID-19 could be in a school. We must now look carefully at ourselves and put what's crawling on the back shelf. Otherwise, we pay with our lives. Tourists, look here. This verse is for you. You can't come out here and do as you do. Some of you break the protocols. And now Zara Holland, she had a fall. So stay in your room, don't break quarantine. Also be honest and squeaky clean, or the full weight of the law will be felt right up in your craw.
All right. This really is a sad,
tremendous,
very,
tremendous.
Very, very, very sad time for us. Michael, you got 30 seconds before we end the program.
Well, just to say that Ezra, we sadly missed. He made a tremendous contribution. And, of course, and finally, praising the efforts of young Kyle Rico-Mears, one of only 11 Barbadians to score a test double century.
All right. Thanks to you. Thanks, of course, to Alf Padmore. Really interesting tribute as well. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, and, of course, the wonderful performance of Sir Clive tonight, always batting the big cat. We'd love to have him on the show. And, of course, we also want to thank the Mayor's family for coming through and his little daughter saying, live your dreams. That will stay with me for a long, long time. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bird tomorrow. It's good night.